discover more resources for living an abundant life, including books, CDs, and Catholic counseling services, visit us online at exceptionalmarriages.com.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Morning, January 13th, 2011, and you're listening to EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. The name of this program is Catholic Connection. My name is Teresa Tomeo. It's produced by Ave Maria Radio out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and distributed around the country and the globe, thanks be to God, through EWTN, as we mentioned, the Global Catholic Radio Network. Coming up on the program, very excited today, we have, of course, Dr. Pia De Seleni with us, as we always do on Thursdays at 15 minutes past the hour. She's a moral theologian, and she's also a cultural analyst. So we will talk to her about what matters most and some things that are on her mind this morning and yours as well. And don't forget, you may call in at any time to speak with any of our guests. And that phone number, if you're a new listener, welcome on board, is 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. And a real treat for us coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have another visit with Father Leo Petalinghug. And Father Leo is actually leading two trips. He's going to be hosting two upcoming trips, pilgrimages, helping people get back to the basics of really embracing a stress-free life and also enjoying once again the food of our lives. And, you know, he's very, very Eucharistic, obviously, because he's a priest, but actually he's the author of several books. His first was Grace Before Meals, really all about getting people to understand from a very deep sense being a Eucharistic people. And the Eucharist, of course, as Catholics, you know, it's a source and summit of our faith, but also there's so much to be drawn from that and to really glean from the idea of breaking bread together. First and foremost, the body and blood of Christ, of course. But, you know, the research, the sociology, I talked about this a lot in my first book, Noise. As a matter of fact, interesting feature story, which I'll be wrapping up the news with in just a few minutes, a survey that came out from Family Circle magazine and the Barilla Pasta Company. Now, as I told my local listeners this morning, obviously Barilla has a vested interest in this because the more people eat together at home, maybe the more pasta they can sell. However, that said, there's tons of research out there, especially from groups like the Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse, that show that family meals are very significant in developing relationships and developing trust, that there is something so crucial about sitting down together and breaking bread and having that time uninterrupted, minus the cell phones, minus the voicemails, minus the iPod, minus the TV, media-free meals together as a family. A new survey just out, showing that 82% of parents feel closer to their kids, 72% of kids feel closer to their parents when they come together for a meal. So there you go. So we'll talk about that with Father Leo, and he'll also tell us about his trips. Now, speaking of trips and pilgrimages and breaking bread together, I did want to give you a heads up. This is on my website. I did mention it. Of course, you know, we just got back from Italy with the Feminine Beauty of the Arts Tour. We're hoping to do another one of those at the end of the year of 2011, going into 12 with the Vatican Patrons and Pure Fashion. In the meantime, though, this is very special and very near and dear to my heart, is promoting marriages, especially from a truly Catholic perspective, and the beautiful teachings we have in the Church on marriage as a sacrament. So we got together with Corporate Travel again, which does all of my trips and also Steve Ray's trips, and Dominic and I are going to be hosting a Roman holiday trip to Italy for couples. And we start up in Tuscany, four nights at a beautiful hotel. And we are going to be coming together for special meals and wine tastings. But the whole idea really is to give couples a chance to focus on their marriage in Italy from a Catholic perspective. We'll go down to Rome for four nights. We'll be in Tuscany for four nights. We'll have a Christian Rome tour. And this is really a trip in a lifetime. If you've always dreamed of going to Italy with your spouse, maybe seeing the Holy Father at an audience, which we always try to include, maybe going to the major basilicas, St. Peter, St. Mary Major, St. John Lateran, St. Paul Outside the Walls, all this and much more coming up September 1st through the 10th. And if you sign up before February, you can save, I believe, about $100 per person. The flyer is on my website at teresatomeo.com. TERESATOMEO.com if you're a new listener. It's on the left-hand side. You can, you know, go on the site, print up the flyer. You can call Corporate Travel and make your reservations. And if you're looking for a special anniversary gift or a special birthday gift, I would highly recommend that Dominic and I are going to be leading the tour, giving our marriage testimony, our reversion. We're going to be giving marriage reflections every day on the bus or at the hotels, wherever we may find ourselves. And we're going to have mass every day, and we're going to hear talks on communication, and it's just going to be a very special dedication to marriage. And we're also going to look at the lives of married saints, including some newly canonized married saints. So I hope you can join us. We already have about, I think, six or seven couples signed up. We'd love to have you sign up and save some money before February. Again, the flyer is on my website at teresatomeo.com, and you'll find it on the left-hand side. And these pilgrimages are very, very important in terms of really bringing the faith home to you. When you go to, I was just talking to Al about this the other day, that when you go to these places and you walk in the footprints of the saints, you walk in the footprints of Christ, you know, and his apostles. Of course, Holy Land is where we can walk in the, literally walk in the footprints of Jesus. Italy, there are so many saints. Every time you turn around, you have another church with another relic. But also to be there in the presence of the Vicar of Christ, to be in St. Peter's, I never, ever, 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 ever get tired of going to St. Peter's. And I was just meeting with my spiritual director the other day, and he always reminds me that you have to do what invigorates you, what keeps you strong, what fuels your tank. And in addition to Mass and Scripture reading and Eucharistic adoration, I really get rejuvenated when I go to Italy. Even though I'm on all the time, the minute I walk out the room, you know, I'm on, I'm the host, I'm talking to people, but I love it. I feed off of that, and I just feel so close and so safe when I'm in Rome because I'm there in you know, at the Holy See, right there in the arms of Christ in the church. It's just an amazing feeling to me. And when I go and sit before, let's say, a relic of St. Catherine, or look at a beautiful icon of Our Lady, or if I'm there at the Vespers, even though I'm not very close to the Pope, I'm in the same, technically the same room with them, that's enough for me. Just to be there and to know the history of the church and the foundation of the church and her teachings, to me that is just everything, and I can never get enough of it. And I'm so blessed to be able to go to Italy on several different occasions. So I hope you can join us. I think it's going to be a beautiful trip, and I'm really excited about this because this is something different, and this is all about marriage. And if you know my testimony, you know that my husband and I are very much into supporting marriage. We emcee a big event every year here in the Detroit area, World Marriage Day, put on by Marriage Encounter, because our marriage was almost lost to the culture. We came very close to divorce, and so we do everything that we can to really help other couples. And this is a way to do this. This is something you can come together as a couple with us and to really uphold your marriage and uplift each other. So think about it, pray about it, but we'll talk about the importance also of pilgrimage with Father Leo at the bottom of the hour. And don't forget all the activities coming up this month for the big March for Life in Washington and the Walk for Life West Coast. The West Coast Walk for Life will be on Saturday, January 22nd, on the actual anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And the big March for Life will take place on Monday, January 24th. EW10 will have, as we say, gavel-to-gavel coverage, both radio and TV. You can check it out online at EWTN.com. It's a beautiful video clip of our coverage last year on both the West Coast Walk for Life and the March for Life. Myself, Damon Owens, will be in D.C. on the ground doing interviews, very excited. And then Doug Keck will be anchoring from Birmingham. It's going to be a great day of coverage, and I hope you can tune in either online, on the radio, or on TV. Check it all out at EWTN.com. Right now, though, it's just about 8.5 minutes past the hour, and it is time to check your news on a Thursday, January 13th, 2011. Teresa Tomeo with you, Catholic Connection. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is slowly continuing to improve. Speaking last night at a memorial service, the president revealing that Giffords opened her eyes yesterday for the first time since Saturday's tragic shooting spree. The attack on a political event left Giffords in critical condition with a gunshot wound to the head. Arizona's Governor Jan Brewer says the shooting has changed lives forever.
It pierced our sense of well-being. It raised questions of which we can make no sense. questions begging for answers that will not come anytime soon.
At the memorial service of the victims of last weekend's mass shooting, which left 6 people dead and 14 others wounded in Tucson, Arizona, Brewer said there is no way to measure what Tucson lost last Saturday. Meanwhile, as John Q. Lawrence reports, one man is widely being hailed as a hero because some say he may have saved the life of Congresswoman Giffords following last weekend's shooting.
University of Arizona student Daniel Hernandez was front and center last night during a memorial service for those who were killed or wounded last Saturday in Tucson, Arizona. Hernandez has rejected being called a hero, even though he was among the first to administer potentially life-saving first aid to Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords after she was shot in the head.
Although I appreciate the sentiment, I must humbly reject the use of the word hero because I am not one.
During the service, President Obama announced what some consider to be a miracle. He said the Congresswoman had opened her eyes Wednesday for the first time since the shooting. I'm John Q. Lawrence.
The National 9/11 flag will grace the funeral for 9-year-old Christina Green in Tucson, Arizona today. The little girl who was born on September 11, 2001, was the youngest of the 6 people killed in that shooting last Saturday. The flag was destroyed and later restitched after the Twin Towers collapsed. Changes on new U.S. passport applications that remove the words father and mother in favor of parent one and parent two are being praised as an advancement by same-sex marriage advocates. According to EWTNnews.com, the State Department announcing its intent last month to make passport application and report of birth abroad forms gender neutral by removing references to mother and father, officials said. Now, the statement called the changes to the application improvements that serve to recognize different types of families. A Colorado Springs state rep has proposed a bill which would allow prosecutors to charge anyone who injures or kills an unborn child in a crime. Assistant House Majority Leader Mark Waller's proposal coming after a Denver woman lost her baby after getting injured in a hit-and-run accident.
It's an absolute travesty that something like that has to happen in the state of Colorado before we act as a legislature.
And Waller also says anyone who commits a crime against the baby in the womb needs to be punished. A spokesperson, meanwhile, with Planned Parenthood says the group won't take a position until they see the language of the bill. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn declining to comment on whether he will sign a General Assembly passed bill which outlaws a death penalty in his state.
Well, I'm going to look at that very carefully. That bill just passed through the Senate. I think it's a very important measure that deserves lots of study, and that's what I plan to do.
And the governor says he plans on following his conscience before deciding whether or not to sign that bill. Now, state senators approved the ban Tuesday night by a 35-22 vote after the House approved it last week. If signed, it would make Illinois the 16th state to make the death penalty illegal. It's not known when Quinn would make his decision. The Northeast digging out from yet another thick blanket of snow today as a fierce winter storm that moved into the region from the southeast is heading into Canada. Forecasters expecting light snow showers to continue today from Maine down through West Virginia. New England bearing the brunt of the storm with as much as 27 inches of snow in some areas. Meanwhile, as Jim Smith reports, Connecticut is one of those states digging out from that huge mound of snow thanks to the major winter blast that came through.
What a difference a day makes. Connecticut is trying to get back to business as usual after parts of the state saw 2 feet of snow yesterday, and so far so good. Major roads like 95 here through Stamford are down to blacktop and traffic is moving freely. Commuters are grabbing their coffee and getting on Metro North trains headed down to New York City. Folks are trying to get back into their normal routines with just a little more snow piled up in the background. Jim Smith, Stamford, Connecticut.
Heavy rains triggering floods and landslides in southern Brazil, bringing the death toll there to at least 361. A region near Rio de Janeiro has been devastated, as well as Sao Paulo State. Officials say a month's worth of rain in a 24-hour period soaked the region north of Rio, collapsing hillsides and destroying homes and killing people as they slept early yesterday. And residents of Brisbane, Australia, are being told it's not too late to evacuate as a once-in-a-century flood threatens up to 40,000 homes. As Brian Portland reports from Australia's third-largest city, more than 50 suburbs are now expected to be flooded when the Brisbane River hits its expected peak.
Infrastructure was destroyed. 35 suburbs were deluged, and the Lord Mayor, Campbell Newman, warned sewage was seeping into the floodwaters after treatment plants were inundated. The city's ferry terminals have been smashed to pieces. The Brisbane River's a swirling torrent, with boats, pontoons and other debris being swept towards the sea, and muddy water inundating low-lying areas. 12 people are confirmed dead, and grave fears are held for at least 9 more as authorities continue the grim search for bodies. I'm Brian Portland, Brisbane, Australia.
A watchdog group claiming the U.S. Treasury may not have gotten a strong enough return for taxpayers following the bailout of Chrysler. The bipartisan congressional oversight panel says the Treasury may have, quote-unquote, left money on the table in its dealings over Chrysler Financial. Treasury officials, though, are disputing the findings. And finally this morning, this is the survey that I mentioned earlier about eating meals together as a family. Family dinners create stronger parent-child bonds. That's the findings in a new poll for the Italian food company Barilla and Family Circle magazine. According to the Barilla Share the Table survey, 82% of parents feel closer to their kids, and 72% of kids feel closer to their parents when everyone comes together for a meal. Nearly two-thirds of the children say family dinners seem to make their mom and dad less stressed, and they enjoy their parents' company more. In addition, 71% of the parents say they feel like their children appreciate them more when they make an effort to have family dinners, and that actually is the case. 70% of the kids say family dinners give them a greater appreciation for their mom and dad. It is just about 16 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Teresa Tomeo with you. Up next, our resident moral theologian, Dr. Pia DeSeleni, and she and I are going to be speaking together in February at the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. So I hope you can join us. If you're in the central Ohio area or anywhere in the Midwest, come on by. It's going to be a great day, February 26th in Columbus, Ohio. Dr. Pia DeSeleni, up next. Stay tuned.
Dr. Kelly Ahrens has joined Dr. Bishop and Dr. Berger's practice at Sacred Heart Medical Center. Sacred Heart's mission is to provide Christ-centered, family-oriented medical care that is faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. As a family physician, Dr. Ahrens specializes in providing care to the whole family, from maternity and pediatrics to geriatrics. As an osteopathic physician, she also performs osteopathic manipulation. More information about the practice and the doctors is available at sacredheartmedical.org. Has your old trusty vehicle let you down? Has the engine developed bad habits of smoking, knocking, or just plain tired? Well, it's time to make the smart investment by replacing your engine, not your car. Let Michigan Motor Exchange provide you with a replacement engine, adding years of life to the vehicle you already own. Don't buy someone else's junk. Since 1945, Michigan Motor Exchange is the engine replacement experts for cars, boats, and trucks. Call 866-MICHMOX.
A good school provides a rounded education for the whole person, and a good Catholic school, over and above this, should help all its students to become saints. These recent words from Pope Benedict highlight the need for a strong Catholic education. Ave Maria is a new university in the Catholic tradition aspiring under grace to become a vital center of the new springtime of culture anticipated by John Paul II for this millennium. Ave Maria University offers a liberal arts education with a broad moral and intellectual foundation. We don't just prepare you to take your place as a leader in this world. We prepare you to be saints. At Ave Maria University, we've attracted an extraordinarily gifted and dynamic faculty. Students learn not to just memorize material, but to understand it deeply, appropriate it, and apply it to their lives. Come to beautiful Southwest Florida to live, learn, and love our faith. We also welcome transfer students. More information at avemaria.edu.
Having a blessed Thursday so far. You're listening to Catholic Connection. Teresa Tomeo with you. It's produced by Ave Maria Radio and distributed through over 150 Catholic radio apostolates around the country and also on the internet and on shortwave around the world, EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. Dr. Pia DeSeleni is a moral theologian. She's a speaker and she's a writer, and she is on the phone with us every Thursday as she is right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you wrote an interesting column. The column actually you wrote before the shooting incident last Saturday, but some very significant points in this column, and I think it's very much worth discussing. A couple of big issues, highlights that I think we need to talk about. First, let's talk about the basis for the column and why it does tie in somewhat to the shooting on Saturday.
Yeah, and I started writing it before the Saturday shooting, and it was published on Monday, so I had to, you know, include a reference to the tragedy of Tucson. But, I mean, last week, at the start of the week, we had the 10-year-old in Ohio that shot his mother in the head, and or allegedly shot his mother in the head. And then we had the 17-year-old in Nebraska who shot his principal and killed his assistant principal before killing himself. And these are, I mean, these are tragedies. And one of the things that I notice is that every time something like this happens, we sit back and we, you know, we talk about how could we, you know, nobody noticed this, or, you know, there'll be all sorts of ruminating about, you know, the different circumstances and the different issues and so forth. And we're going to talk about any messages that they left or videotapes and stuff. But the one thing that I've found in these cases is that typically these children are the children of divorced families or a family in which there is serious dysfunction. And nobody wants to talk about that. And at least, or at least I haven't seen a conversation about it. And I think we should be talking about it. If this is a common element that we're finding in all these families, we in all of these situations, we ought to be talking about it. And I don't mean that, you know, every child of divorce is going to plan the next Columbine. I mean, my parents divorced, and when I was young, and I didn't fall into any of the negative indicators, whether you're talking about drug use, sexual promiscuity, teen pregnancy, low grades. I didn't fall into that. But there, I think we do need to start talking about how does divorce or family dysfunction affect a child. And in the column, I talk about a book by Elizabeth Marquardt, and it's called Between Two Lives, The Children of Divorce. And her point is that even in a quote-unquote good divorce where people, you know, the parents are somewhat amicable and there's no outward hostility, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's a plan and the kids go back and forth between houses and, you know, things are relatively calm, that even in those cases, the child's reality is substantially altered. And so she based all of her research. She didn't take, you know, because up to this point, when we look at divorce and we say it's wrong, we look at things, these other negative indicators, again, like drug use, teen pregnancy, low grades, all these different things. So she went and she studied a group of college students and college graduates that we would all call successful who haven't suffered any of these issues. And yet what she found was that, I mean, literally their reality was changed. And this book was published in 2005, and it was only a few months ago that I finally was able to pick it up and read it. And I read it, and it's the first thing that's come close to even describing what I experienced as a child of divorce. And I think that it's an important, you know, I think we need more research in this vein because, you know, again, you look at all of these horrible tragedies, and you have to stop and think. There is, you know, when you see that in every situation it's either divorce or family dysfunction is a common element, then you have to stop and say, well, wait a minute, is this somehow contributing to the experience that these children have? Is this somehow prompting them in their behavior? And we have to have these deeper and more substantive conversations, I think, if we want to get to any point of resolution or where we're coming to have solutions. And I have to say that I'm grateful that as a result of on the Tucson issue that we're starting to shift the conversation to talk about, you know, treatment of people with psychological conditions. I mean, that is a very serious discussion mm-hmm. that needs a lot of attention. Clearly, I mean, particularly based on what happened on Saturday, we are lacking in resources. We are lacking in the way that we treat these issues. So I think that, you know, no one wants to, I don't want to embrace any of these tragedies, but I do want to say that when they happen, we need to take a constructive approach to looking at them. And I think that because divorce and family dysfunction is so widespread, nobody wants to talk about that because, you know, that's the elephant in the room or, you know, the drunk aunt at Christmas time. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to address it.
And also, I think, too, divorce and also, mental illness, it still has such a stigma attached to both, don't you think? And a lot of people don't want to talk about it and get into the nitty-gritty of really dealing with these issues and the fallout from them.
Well, I'm not sure that divorce has so much a stigma, but the fact is that in many cases it's a personal choice
The
parents have made. I mean, obviously you have some cases where there's, you know, some type of abuse, whether it's physical abuse, substance abuse, psychological abuse, you have chronic infidelity. In those cases, you know, at the minimum a legal separation is required. So I'm not talking about those cases. I'm talking about the overwhelming majority of cases of divorce where something could be done, and it means both people working on the marriage and taking the time and doing the work to make the marriage work, taking the time to make the spark come back, taking the time to create love in the relationship. And because I think that by and large we live in a culture that has taken in the whole romantic fantasy that as soon as the spark is gone, the love must be gone. As soon as there's work required, oops, this must not be it. There must be something wrong. And when we say that on average, I mean, I know there's some quibbling about these numbers, but, you know, on average, more than half of all marriages end in divorce, then we're mm-hmm. talking about something that's pretty widespread, and it's a very, you know, that's kind of a sore issue. People don't, when you have that many people who are complicit in a behavior that some of us want to say, hey, maybe this has a direct impact on the experience that children have. Maybe it even plays a role in children committing atrocities like this. Nobody wants to talk about that if everybody's somehow complicit in it.
Do you think, though, that there are deeper discussions going on out there in the culture and in the media sphere? And watching a lot of the coverage, most of it the last few days has been regarding the quote-unquote toning down the rhetoric. You know, that's what I've heard about, and many people on the right saying that the left is trying to silence us, many people on the left saying that blah, 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 the right have to be quiet. But I'm seeing most of it about the political rhetoric. I'm hoping that we have some deeper discussions. I talked about this in my local hours, some of my listeners, especially in terms of helping people with severe, psychological problems. But I'm not seeing it yet. Are you? Maybe I'm missing it.
I have seen some conversation, like in the Wall Street Journal has had some good columns, and in fact I'll try and post some of them on my website later today. I've seen some good discussions just about psychological treatment with regards to the two thumb thing. With regards to Ohio and Nebraska, it's been, the Nebraska kid was having trouble
mm-hmm.
With his at school and where he was living with his mom, so his mom sent him to his dad in Nebraska. He gets suspended for doing something stupid, like driving a car onto a football field or something, I don't know. And, you know, he posts the thing on his Facebook page and goes in and with a gun and starts shooting. I mean, you know, and nobody's really wanting to look at the deeper issues. And with the kid in Ohio, I mean, the most substantive discussion I've seen is that, you know, he's a 10-year-old. His dad gave him a gun rack with guns that was put in the kid's room at his mother's house. To me, that's not a substantive discussion. I mean, if anything, you got to ask, like, why is mom allowing that? I mean, mm-hmm. if it's mom's house, she's got to, like, draw a line and say, this is ridiculous, you
right.
know? And I'm not anti-gun. It's just I don't see the need or purpose of a gun rack with guns in the room of a 10-year-old. I mean, that's just absurd. But on the other two cases, I have not seen very substantive discussions. And right now, they've been eclipsed by the tragedy in Tucson and this political stuff back and forth. So,
well, I think, you know, writing columns about it is very helpful, too, because Headline Bistro, I know, gets a lot of hits every day, and it's important. And I think we have to raise the bar on the discussion, especially from a Catholic perspective.
I agree completely. And again, I think that, you know, I really feel that in these cases, I mean, I think that these children are very often the victims themselves, and we're not treating them always as the victims. They will say, well, they were troubled and they were a victim in that sense. But, you know, if the family is falling apart around them, and if Elizabeth Marquardt's research, I mean, if even half of it is true, and mm-hmm. I think that it was done it was conducted in a way that it's all accurate, that's showing us that reality has changed for these children, and what has happened to them is it's earth-shattering, world-shattering. And no one's addressing that. And, you know, she gives the example in her book that, because she herself was a child of divorce, and you get these, you know, when you're a kid and your parents are divorcing, you know, people are giving you the happy talk, and everything's going to be better, and you'll have two homes now, which is really exciting. Well, the reality is that nobody wants two homes. I mean, unless you're talking about, you know, unless you're an adult and you're thinking about a summer home, okay, then
mm-hmm,
you want
right.
two homes. But a child doesn't want to.
Right.
And so I think
parents.
That it's... we really do need to spend more time looking at how this affects children and whether or not this is a common element in these tragedies.
Well, Pia, great perspective. Appreciate it. You can find Pia's column on headlinebistro.com. And Pia and I, again, are speaking at the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference February 26th. Check it out. It's columbuscatholicwomen.com. We'll be right back. Stay tuned on Catholic Connection.
Ciena, the Catholic mobile phone company, is more than just a cell phone service. Ciena is pro-life and pro-family. And contrary to other phone companies, we actively work for a culture of life in America. With Ciena, 5% of your voice plan goes to your favorite Catholic or pro-life charity. To date, over $1 million. Ciena uses the same nationwide digital network as the big guys without contracts or termination fees. Flexible calling plans allow you to support a pro-life company and the culture of life with every call you make on your mobile phone. There's a wide selection of phones and calling plans with text messaging available as well. Also, you pay no fees to change your plan, and you get unlimited mobile-to-mobile calling with other Ciena customers on most plans. With Ciena, you can use your voice for the voiceless. Don't waste your cell phone service. Learn more at 877-4-Ciena or on the web at prolifecatholic.com.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
The Pi Missionaries are an institute of Catholic priests and brothers who dedicate their lives to the mission among non-Christians in 17 countries. They're creative in their missionary presence, proclaiming the gospel and promoting understanding among religions and cultures. Pi has had a presence in Southeast Michigan for over 60 years. From their headquarters in Detroit, they collaborate with the Archdiocese in serving the local church, expressing their missionary spirit. You can learn more about the Pi Missionaries at pimeusa.org or look for them on Facebook.
Heart to Heart, a Catholic Women's Apostolate, meets Thursday the 13th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. This month's guest, Dr. Monica Miller, will preview the revised translation of the Roman Missal and how changes to the Mass can make it more authentic and profound. This free event is this Thursday, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com. That's hearttoheartcwa.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Thursday morning. It's January 13th, 2011, and the family that eats together stays together, just like the family that prays together stays together. Well, so says a new survey from the Barilla Pasta Company. Now, okay, I know that Barilla has a vested interest. Okay, recognize that. However, I think Father Leo can also comment on this because it's true. This is a survey, and it backs up other research out there. Now, this particular survey is called the Barilla Share the Table Survey. 82% of parents say they feel closer to their kids, and 72% of kids say they feel closer to mom and dad when everyone comes together for a meal. Nearly two-thirds of the children say family dinners seem to make their mom and dad less stressed, and they enjoy their parents' company more. In addition, 71% of parents say they feel like their children appreciate them more when they make an effort to have a family meal together. 70% of the kids say family dinners give them a great appreciation for their mom and dad. We are a Eucharistic people because Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith as Catholics, but there is a lot more that goes into this in terms of why the Lord is telling us this is important. And I know Father Leo is all about that. Father Leo Padlinghung is the author of Grace Before Meals. He's been around the country speaking on the importance of sharing meals together and breaking bread together as a family and helping us concentrate on the Eucharist. And now he's doing two trips through corporate travel, and he's going to share those itineraries with us. But also, Father, I was just dying to get your reaction to this survey. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, and it's great to be on the air with you, and thanks. I have not yet heard that survey, but it's very consistent with all of the surveys that I've heard, including one even by MTV that backs that up, that the happiest kids are the ones who say that they have a good relationship with mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And in this busy world, when can they actually develop that relationship? I mean, you can't spend all day together. You'd probably kill each other. But can you spend at least a sacred moment of a meal? And I call it a sacred moment because it is an analogical term for a communion mm-hmm. within the family. And so I think that that's a great, fantastic study. Thank you for updating me. I'd love to put that on the website and, more importantly, see if Barilla wants to sponsor us.
Yeah. There you go. By the way, it's really good pasta. I'm thinking as an Italian-American who likes pasta. That is, and when I was in Italy, they had this really cool ad for Christmas. They had it looked like a giant firework, and it was linguine looking like the shape of a firework.
And leave it up to the Italians to turn everything into food. As
into
a matter
food.
Of fact, when I started learning Italian, I would literally just, I don't want to say eavesdrop because it was really more out of practice than anything deceptive, but I would just listen while people were talking on the phone in Italy or listening to just conversations on the bus. And 90% of their conversations was about food.
Right.
So, so that's how I learned Italian. I first learned restaurantese.
Now, see, that's where you first, you know, I know that you being from a Filipino background, that your family also cooks great food, but you really honed that interest and you were studying in Rome, correct?
That's correct. And the reason why the Italian kind of culture stuck on me was because when I went to Rome, I was living at the North American College, and that is, you know, just the bishop's seminary to send students, particular students, to study for the priesthood there. And it's not a big deal, but I was sent there. And,
oh, listen
and I
to felt, you, Mr. Humility. It is a big
no,
deal.
No, 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 no. I mean, I think the reason why they sent me there was because I needed to grow up. And it was a real eye-opening experience. And one of the things that I opened my eyes to was how important my family was and how much I missed them. I really, really missed them. And the one thing that kind of consoled me in that whole experience, that waning experience that everyone who has to go through, you know, a call of the Lord, they have to endure it, was the consolation of the meal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would sit at the dinner table and just have conversations. And it kind of reminded me of home. And I know that wasn't something that the American culture doesn't always experience because we are so busy and the statistics show we are coming together less as a family. But for traditional countries like the Philippines and Italy, as well as, you know, Greece and, you know, other Romance language like Spain and Mexico, and they all have this super serious importance placed on the family meal. And with America's invention of fast food, that has at least challenged that importance.
You know what's interesting that you should say that? We just did a trip. I think I was telling you, we were chatting on the phone the other day in prep for this interview. We just finished our first Feminine Beauty of the Arts tour, where we took a group of women in conjunction with the Vatican patrons and Pure Fashion to see themselves through the eyes of Christ in the church. And our first night after we got there was at this wonderful restaurant. You may have even been there in Rome. It's called the Abruzzo Restaurant.
Absolutely.
It's a great restaurant. It's a fantastic restaurant, but it is such a local restaurant. And we were there, I think, for at least 3 hours. And it wasn't, you know, that we were constantly eating. It was just that the pace of the meal was so wonderful. And everyone said that was one of their favorite experiences because around us were all these Italian families. And there was one group, one family with all these little girls who were absolutely adorable. And they were just getting into the meal and ordering different appetizers. And it was a very nice and slow, deliberate meal in between courses. And everyone came away saying, what an experience. Because it's something that we don't do in this country. The Italians and the Europeans, the Spanish, the Italians and the Mediterraneans, the Israelis and the Palestinians are very much like this too. They take their time around the table, and that is a very important time to bond for people.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And in the Philippine culture, we eat 5 meals a day. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's one reason why maybe the Philippine culture is just a little bit healthier, because they don't eat one humongous meal a day.
Right.
They eat small meals throughout the day, which definitely satisfies them, but it also gives them an opportunity just to come together. It's almost like a little snack break that people would have at work, but it's just kind of built into the culture. To take a snack break here in America, we'd be considered unproductive, you know, and that's one reason why I'm constantly encouraging people to make pilgrimages, you know, and for example, the one that I'm hoping to lead with corporate travel, a Mediterranean cruise, and it's just a couple weeks before the summer really kicks into high gear. But I honestly think it is the perfect time for people to go on a little vacation because it will gear them up towards learning how to use their summer well.
Yeah, and you're going to some great places to experience this. You're going to different places in Italy, but you're also going to France and Spain and then Palermo, Sicily.
Yes, we are doing a cruise. It's going to be a Grace Before Meals cruise. People can learn all about it. They all have to do is go to gracebeforemeals.com. You can download the itinerary, and you can see how inexpensive this cruise really is. When people hear about how much they're getting and how little it is, it's just astounding. But I think one of the reasons why it is a low cost is because the cruise ship wanted to make a special offer to my group because they had seen me on the Food Network. They are aware of the movement, and they are actually opening up their kitchen so that we can do some cooking demonstrations while on the cruise. And a sommelier is going to come out and talk a little bit about food and wine pairing.
Wow, nice.
Which you know, is part of our Catholic culture.
Right.
And it might sound very hoity-toity, and then who's this priest who's supposed to be poor and simple doing such a fancy cruise? Well, first of all, Jesus did a lot of work on the boat.
There you go.
That's number one.
And his first miracle was changing water into wine. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And Jesus knows exactly what to pair food and drink with. And he knows that the best pairing is called a renewed spirit. And so this trip gives people a chance to be really recreated. It's a real recreational experience. And, of course, I'll be celebrating Mass, offering spiritual conferences. And if people overeat on the ship, I can even hear their confession.
Well, they do have a nice workout room on most of the ships, so that's not a problem. And you'll be walking a lot. And I find that when you go – and the other thing, too, that people don't realize – even though there's an abundance of wonderful food when you go on these trips, because the meals are different and they're spaced, and like the Italians, they don't give you like 4 pounds of pasta at a meal. You know this. They give you small portions.
I know.
You know, and a little taste of everything. Yeah.
It's
in the United States, we're the ones who supersize everything.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I was actually at a food blogging conference, and, of course, I was the only priest there. And so they kind of called me out, and they said, you know, who are you, and what are you doing here? And I explained to them briefly in almost like a little 30-second commercial, and the place gave me a standing ovation.
Aww.
And what was interesting was that Morgan Spurlock, who was the, I guess, the star of that mockumentary, Super Size Me,
mm-hmm.
he came up after me, and he put his arms around me. He's like saying, this is so important to help people understand the importance of a family meal. I wish I would have talked more about that in the movie and such. And so he was a big endorser of what we do. And what we are trying to do now is just reach out to the masses, invite them to experience the Grace Before Meals movement a little bit more, celebrate with us, pray with us, and most importantly, have fun with us. That's why the cruise, there are a few spots left, so we'd be happy to have anyone who's interested. Just get right in touch with us at gracebeforemeals.com. It really is going to be exciting. It's going to be one of our first-time adventures.
Yeah, and I hope, I know that we're talking, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm really praying that you can join us at least for part of our trip in the fall, because the whole thing,
oh, yeah.
too, about marriage, and, you know, and this is what I want to stress. If married couples are so busy, and, you know, a lot of people are working, or even if not both, you know, husband and wife don't work, maybe one is home taking care of the kids and shuffling the kids around, and, you know, these family meals are really tough, but it's important for husbands and wives to spend time together and break bread together.
Which is the reason why my second book, and I'm actually doing a lot of editing as we speak, is called Spicing Up Married Life.
Well, see? You have to come on our trip in the fall.
I'll come if you bring some people to my trip.
Okay. You got a deal here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you're absolutely right that the family is only going to be as strong as mom and dad's love for one another. And I think that is a hermeneutic that kind of has to be attended to by mm-hmm. especially parish priests when they do marriage preparation. For a family to really be strong, mom and dad's love for each other has to be even stronger, because that's the glue that's going to help the children see by example. And that's why I constantly encourage dates for even married couples.
Mm-hmm.
One of the chapters I offer in the new book coming up is to encourage parents to go on dates. And that's one reason why I'm telling parents especially, come on this cruise as well as come on your trip in the fall, because they need to spend time with one another. Do not feel guilty that you're going to leave the kids with grandparents or with good friends who you trust and who will continue to support their spiritual growth when you're away.
Mm-hmm.
That means take them to church. But they need this time away with each other. They need to have fun with each other. They need to renew their love for each other. And that's why both of our trips are going to be around food.
And, you know, isn't it, you know, the Lord, I mean, I know he's God and everything, but he really is quite smart, you know, because... I mean, if you think
that's
about the importance, yeah, really, you know, but if you think about the importance of what the social sciences, the research, and I talk about a lot about this in my first book, Noise, what it says about having meals together, media free. Yeah, and I've cited this particular study a gazillion times on this program and in speeches. The Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse did a whole big report on how they think that if families actually sat together, if they could get parents and teens to sit down at the dinner table 2 to 3 times a week media-free, that the impact that would have on substance abuse among kids, as they said, would be huge.
Absolutely. That is probably the most poignant evidence to why family meals are not important but necessary to healthy living for your children. You know, this coming weekend, I'm going to be watching the Ravens game with my family, and it's always a big deal. And we eat. And so people will sometimes email me and say, well, why are you encouraging eating in front of the TV? Well, we don't do it all the time, but we will. We will pray together. We will be part of the cooking process together. We will watch TV together. We'll have conversations between the games during the commercials, and we will end the evening with a prayer together, and we'll probably linger and chat a little bit more. My objective, get people together, and the best way to do that is with food. That is why the cruise is going to give cooking demonstrations specifically for couples, again, teaching them a little bit about the wine culture. And then when we go to these different countries and visit and we kind of explore the territory, we've got restaurants and food excursion ideas lined up for everyone. It really is going to be the way to bring people together.
Are you going to San Margarita Liguori, which is so pretty? That's so beautiful. I was there a couple of years ago, right by Rapallo and Portofino. It's just
absolutely
so beautiful.
You know, the beautiful part about our world is that it was made to be enjoyed. And people, you know, there are some Catholic people who are kind of sourpusses in a way.
Or as we say in Italian, you probably know this from living in Italy, funge face, mushroom face.
That's absolutely right. And our world was created by God, and he said it was good. What we've done is we've turned it into just something we abuse or something we don't pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Saint Francis didn't become a saint because he didn't love nature. What I'm trying to do, especially with this cruise, is help people reconnect to the world that God made, to see its value, to see that it is good and that it is made for us to enjoy, but also for us to master it, which is why part of our discussion on the cruise is going to be discussing the virtues, such as moderation, such
exactly.
as patience. Mm-hmm. And those things should be exercised, especially when you're on a vacation.
Amen. But it's important for people to understand that balance, and that's what I love about being Catholic, is because it's all about balance and moderation. Let me give out your website again, because you've got the cruise, and then you have the retreat, which is a Fruit of the Vine Work of Human Hands Gourmet Food and Wine Retreat, which is coming up in June. So if you can't do the full cruise, maybe you can do the retreat. That's also coming up in June of 2011. The cruise is May 2011, and I don't know, I'm trying to twist Father's arm to see if he can get out of teaching a few classes.
You don't have to twist it.
Just get a substitute. Come on and join us in September. You can bring your book if it's out then and all that good stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, hang on. We're going to take a break, and if you have a question for Father Leo, 877-573-7825. The website is gracebeforemeals.com, and he's working with a wonderful travel agency that I work with all the time. I won't work with anybody else. They're just that good. Corporate Travel out of Dearborn, Michigan. They do great Catholic trips. Of course, they work with Steve Ray and myself and other Catholic leaders out there in the community, including Father Leo Padlikog. And check out the website for his books as well, and also try to bring him in for a great talk, because when he comes into town to speak, and he's done this in Michigan more than once, he'll actually do a cooking demonstration, which is very fun. We should have a spaghetti sauce cook-off.
Let's do it.
We've actually talked about that at Ave Maria Radio with Bishop Sistone of Saginaw, because he's from the same region of Italy. And I was asking him, I'm trying to get his secret meatball recipe. He has yet to get it to me. So we're working on it. All right, we'll be right back with Father Leo. GraceBeforeMeals.com. All the info on the trips on the homepage. We'll be right back.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest, since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Yoo-hoo! Is that you, Tom Lowy? I've been searching for you for more than a week.
It is I.
What are you doing?
Well, sister, I'm on retreat, and I intend to spend the rest of my days in this monastery.
Oh, how lovely. But I don't think so. Wake up, Lowy. We got a show to do. Now!
You must mean Notes from Above, the program that explores the intersection of music and faith and airs every Sunday at 4:30 p.m.
That's right, Bob, and you're late. We've been on the air for 10 years, and we're not stopping now. Retreats are great, but you're not a monk. Last year you thought you were going to be a gourmet cook and disappeared for 5 weeks at some fancy chef school in New York.
I can make an excellent omelet now.
Not a good one. Stick with radio.
Well, I'm shocked that you would say such a thing. My souffles are to die for.
Will Tom Lowy return to radio, or will he become a monk? Tune in this Sunday at 4:30 to find out.
Wait till you try my chicken soup.
Hey, stop chasing those chickens.
Check out Father's website, gracebeforemeals.com. You recall him with the throwdown with Bobby Flay on the Food Network, which was awesome. It was a very, very cool show. I happened to see that. Father Leo is the author of Grace Before Meals. He has another book coming out hopefully later this year. And what will be the title of that book, Father? Do you have a title for it?
The new book is called Spicing Up Married Life.
I love it.
Love it.
It's really exciting. Again, it's all just built out of the Grace Before Meals movement, which started off with just trying to encourage a family meal, and it has literally blossomed into an international movement. So I get emails from people from around the world, and so some of them are actually going to be joining us, God willing, on our cruise, and so invite your listeners, if they are available and interested, on a culinary cruise, Mediterranean cruise. It's going to be fantastic. They just have to go to gracebeforemeals.com.
You know, it's so important, and I know that for a lot of people, especially with this economy, something like this, even though these trips are, I think, very reasonably priced for what you get included in them. They really are, and I've traveled a lot, as you have. You know, trying to encourage people to really think about it and pray about it and what it can do for you. And I was speaking at the top of the hour about how important it is for me to go back to Italy. My spiritual director, I think you know him, Monsignor Michael Bulgarin, who also went to the NAC, North American College, he's always telling me, T, you know, what helps you, what revives you, what keeps you going, in addition to adoration and scripture reading and really studying different saints. I really need to go to Rome because I just feel such comfort and such energy when I go walk in St. Peter's Square and I'm surrounded by the arms of the church. That, to me, it's not just my Italian heritage, it's the church. And I just feel such comfort as someone who's out there on the front lines being there in Rome. And I try to encourage people to understand, and we were talking about this during the break, being Catholic is so universal. It's so all-encompassing of life and art and culture and food and family. Because we're not, the church recognizes we are not just these, you know, spirits floating around. We are physical. The body is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Jesus came to us in the flesh as a man, fully God, fully man. But to get people to understand that and to experience that by going on a trip like you're doing or that we're doing.
Yeah, that is truly the challenge. But I can also say, just by testimony, that people who were always a little afraid to go on a trip because it was so far or they thought that it was expensive, they realized, first of all, they did have the means. They did have the time. What they didn't have was the courage to do it. And so it really does take people to be courageous, to experience something new. This trip is not just for fun. This trip is to help open people's eyes to the bigger reality.
Well, that's what we all do in all of our trips, and we stress that. When Steve Ray and I go to the Holy Land, when we go to Italy, hugely focused on who we are in Christ and what the church gives us, and to understand who we are in our family.
I remember there was a couple that came, and he was a pretty prominent person in at least in the state of Maryland, and he went on this trip, and I stopped him at one point. I said, "So, how are you doing?" And he grabs my arm, because we were at just a little cocktail hour prior to dinner. He grabs my arm really tightly, and he started to shake, and he pulled me aside, and he started to cry.
Mm.
And he said, "This trip has changed my life."
Yeah. Yeah.
And I looked at him, I said, "We're only 3 days into it." So you can only imagine the impact a trip like this, like yours, like mine, can really have on people. And what's really beautiful is that if people can't come out in the fall, they can join me in the spring. If they can't join me in the spring, they can join you in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, we need to let our people know that that being renewed in the spirit can happen 24/7, can happen every day of their life. They just simply have to make the effort.
Yeah, it's such an experience, too. And to have an on-fire priest like you leading the way is just so huge. I think that's great. You need some more enthusiasm, though, Father, like me. We have to come out of our shell.
Exactly. And I haven't even had a cup of coffee yet.
Oh, my goodness. So is this something you think, God willing, you'll be doing on a semi-regular basis, leading these trips? Because I think it's great.
Well, we hope to. You know, this obviously is going to be our first one since the throwdown on the Food Network and the growing popularity of Grace Before Meals. I've been asked by people from, again, around the world to do something like this because they want to come together. They want to see what a Grace Before Meals family is all about. I mean, my mom has already signed up. So she's going to be on this. And we've got a whole bunch of activities planned, and we'll see how it goes. Now, I've done a lot of pilgrimages. This is the first time that I'll be doing a culinary cruise.
Neat.
And the reason why we're doing it again is because the shipping company, the cruise company, saw me on the Food Network, and they were very excited that this idea was presented before them. And they're kind of rolling the red carpet out for us.
Great. Great. And again, you can find out information on Father's website at gracebeforemeals.com. I look forward to that new book and really encourage people to think and pray about doing a pilgrimage like this and to really open yourselves up to a brand new experience. There is such an incredible world out there. And, you know, I love to be able to travel and to see the faith come alive in all different cultures around the world. It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first time I took people to see the Vatican, and I explained everything on the outside because, you know, I lived there for 6 years, so
right.
I kind of know Europe, and I definitely know Rome. And since I speak the language, it just makes it even more fun. So I did the tour of the outside of the Vatican, and then I brought them in, and I brought them. I said, "When you all come in, I want you to look down," and they all looked down on this big porphyry marble, and I said, "This is where, you know, St. Leo the Great crowned Charlemagne."
Yeah.
And I said, "Now look up," and they saw the vastness, and I said,
and the baldacchino and the pietà on the right and the Holy Spirit image in the back. Don't get me started. We'll be here for another hour. Father, God bless you. I hope you have a lot of people signing up for your trip. Check it out at gracebeforemeals.com. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Let's start out at the beginning. Let's go way back. Before there was a was.
At the October Heart to Heart meeting, Father Dennis Brown talked about the ignition exercises.
We are free from in order to be free for. We are interiorly, progressively freed from disordered attachments to creatures through this experience of the exercises to be ever more freer and freer and open to God.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. We've all heard about the Ignatian retreats, but on our program this week, we'll learn what they're really all about and how and where to take such a retreat. Listen to Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. The Life Process Model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available.